Welcome to the Ivy Podcast. We're just two aunties sharing our experience through the lens of one Blackfoot woman and one Anishinaabe woman. And we are Indigenous Vision, an educational nonprofit based in Montana and Arizona. We are 100% Indigenous-led, and this is our podcast. Check us out at indigenousvision.org to learn more about our work, make a donation, or play back any of our radio shows and this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Indigenous Vision Podcast. This is officially 104, and we have to talk, Suta. We have to talk and get this out of our systems.
We're fighting through colds. I think the stress has exacerbated. What's that word? I
need exacerbated?
To look it up. Exacerbated our colds.
I got a cold when I went to Phoenix and went to a sweaty, hot rock and roll show, and I came back sick. You know, that's the price I pay for living the dream.
Yeah, you do get guys rubbing on you and they're icky, kind of. And then the breathing in the faces and the coughing, all that. I thought I would get out of my trip with a cold. I thought I was going to get a cold because the person, I had the window seat and the person in front of me, in the middle seat beside me and behind me were all coughing. And so I had an N95 mask in my bag and I'm like, I'm going to Japanese style it here today. And it's like plain air has always grossed me out anyway, especially those long flights across the country because it's recycled air. And I'm sure they're running it through a filter, but it's just a tiny box and the flights are full. And that's like 140 people on board.
That's a lot of lugs.
It is. So I thought I was going to get sick from that, but I didn't. I came home and got a cold on Friday, which I was isolating for most of last week because I was trying to recover from the trips and all of that. Still got a cold somehow.
It's just the seasons changing, I think, for me, and overall dryness here in the desert. Look, listen to how nasally I sound. It's so annoying. I'm like trying to do voiceovers and I'm telling my clients, I'm like, I am so sorry. This is still lingering. You can hear my brains. I'm so sorry.
You got to take out that sauna I sent you.
And yeah, just, I really
do. It'll flow out like buckets. That's what I'm setting up today for myself to kick this. Cause I've been taking zinc lozenges. That seems to minimize it. Cause the first day I could tell something was coming on that was like strep throat. Like I couldn't hardly swallow. It was like stabbing needle pain that was on fire. And by the second day I got it down with like overdosing on those zinc lozenges. I got it down to like a kind of like a scratchy sandpaper feel.
Oh, wow.
But you know, the state of the world is not helping our for health and good health, you need emotional stability.
Right. Yeah, I've been struggling mentally, like with everything. Last week was really heavy. Let's see, it's Tuesday today. It's Halloween. And the Buffy St. Marie news, we'll say, dropped on Friday. So it's been Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, about 5 days that I've been processing what the Fifth Estate told us about Buffy St. Marie, which if you haven't heard, was that she's not really Indigenous, according to their investigations. Right. So I've been processing this a lot. Friday was probably the worst day. I had to work a busy shift at the restaurant, and like in between like the moments where I was busy, I would just stand there and shake my head and be like, this can't be real. Then I go back to work and kind of forget about it, and then have a moment again and be like, wow, this can't be real.
And it's very real. And you know, I'm not completely shocked because I was introduced to Buffy and her career late. I haven't been following her since my birth, and my mom was into different rock and roll at that era, you know, the 70s and the 80s. And so I was introduced to her late, and I did have reservations. Funny to say that as a Native person, because of the tan, it looked really fake and her lips were really light. But then I've always been taught, you know, especially because I've grown up with redheaded ginger Indians, right, that are enrolled. And I was taught to put that out of my mind and not to judge her on appearances, right? But she looks like me, but then I'm Blackfeet blood and French Italian. And so I have that Italian nose. It's not quite as pronounced as Buffy's, but it's an Italian nose.
I was gonna say her younger self kind of looks like you.
Yes, I
In
know.
some pictures, I was like, I don't want to say that looks like Suta, but it
No.
kind of looks like Suta.
That's what I was going to do. I was like, is it too soon to do a Buffy costume? Because are
There's
people going to
already
be
memes
hurt?
of the Buffy costume. Like, it is, the internet is such a crazy
It's
place.
cruel. And I think it could be overly cruel. And I don't know. I'm not the judge or the executioner. It's not my position to say, like, how she should repent for these crimes. Because
Right.
it's certainly stealing identity is a crime. And then we have Native American Arts and Crafts Act. And I think that should cover music, arts, right? It should cover music. You can't knowingly make a basket and say it's Native American made and sell it like that. Same thing with music. You shouldn't be able to knowingly make music and say it's Native American made, knowing you're not. And I tried to give her all of the graces. Like, it's a messy history, that 60 scoop that she calls the big scoop. And then all the 60 scoop people are saying, well, she's much older than that. And that should have been called out a long time ago when they started talking about 60 scoop stuff and then getting serious around the ages. But I don't know if we can put a definitive, like, year mark on that, because there were so many screwy practices, and Native people were not looked at as humans, and our children were treated horrible. Yeah, they were bought and sold, and who knows where those birth certificates came from. But I do know this. I do know that you cannot get back and forth across the border without an ID, and you can't get an ID without a birth certificate. You can't get married, and you can't get a marriage certificate without a birth certificate. And so she knew she had hers, and she used her birth certificate for her marriage license. I saw. It's so
Yeah,
hard. It's so
it's
hard.
so
Like,
hard because nobody, her parents aren't around anymore. Nobody from that era is around anymore to confirm anything, right? And then I'm seeing like Cree elders are claiming, yes, her mother was Cree and they took her away to Massachusetts. So I'm hearing so many different things. Like, I don't know what to believe. I mean,
Well, and
who are the Cree
that's
elders saying that though? Like,
right. And
do
then
we
those
want to
Cree
question them?
elders don't speak for all of the Indigenous community either.
Right.
And so, because my grandpa, Chief White Calf, he banished people. And in the Winter Count's hides that he had, they were marked as killed. White Calf kills this man, Horse Eagle, Eagle Feather, whatever his name was. And you do despicable things to get banished. And it's, I didn't. I feel like my heart could find that it's okay, oh, she was a good advocate, but she was faking and lying the whole time about who she was. Well, hold on. Maybe we should start with the very beginning, the
Yeah, let's
faking and
start
the
there because
lying.
it's a lot. It's a lot right now.
Yeah.
So
So is it faking and is it lying? And first,
it's when I was watching The Fifth Estate, it sounded like she had a story that she was buying into and maybe got a little carried away with.
yeah. And we're a cultural identity organization. We do cultural identity trainings. That's what culture humility is. Is it works to empower the culture of the individual, explore their own biases and assumptions based on that culture they're living in, and then bring that to work and explore the culture of all the other people you work with, and then figure out a way to make things work and be productive. Right? That's cultural humility. And also, cultural humility should be is being comfortable with saying, I don't know. And that's right where she went wrong, is introducing herself as a Native American artist. I think she would be just as embraced if she said, this is hard. I was, and then she did, I was taken. But she has a birth certificate, and it's a certificate of a live birth. It's not a replicate. It's not a reissued. And those can be screwy too. I've heard tons of 60 scoop and adopted Native stories where the birth certificates are doubled and screwy. And my grandpa, he's the same age as Buffy. Well, he's older than her, and he had two birthdays, but only one birth certificate. But he was told that he was born on this day or this day, and then the hospital helped him and the tribe helped him figure it out, right? There's places that you can go, but you know where the document was kept, how the document looked, how it was placed, like in between like 47 and 40, is it 50 or 48 and 50, she's number 49, it would be in a different place in that birth certificate book if it was reissued after a live birth, but it's like documented between the children that were born that year at that hospital and sanatorium.
And then she grew up with this whole family with like home videos and pictures, and everything looked pretty normal
and
until she became
like her mother.
Yeah. And then she becomes an adult and she's Mi'kmaq.
Yeah. Yeah. And that could be true, but the, and I'm not a blood quantum native. I'm a cultural native. I think that you, blood quantum ties you to the land. Blood quantum is like what they do for horses and cows. Bloodline is different. Bloodline is what I'm always talking about in terms of like where your genetics were formed, where your blood was formed, where your ancestors evolved. There's places on the land that you're tied to without even trying because your ancestors formed with that dirt in their teeth. And you guys are vibrating at the same frequency practically. That's why when we go places that are at home, we're like, oh, this feels home. This feels right. This feels good. It's because you're vibrating at the same frequency. You have the same energy levels emitting from your being.
Lake Manitoba, my whole family's from pretty much the western and northern shores of that massive lake. That's where I was formed.
Right.
For and you, generations.
You go, right. And you go there and you feel like the lake is
it's
you and
beautiful.
You're the lake. Isn't that
I want to drink it.
Right. Am I the only one that feels that way? Like the land is me and I am the land.
That's how it is.
And that's where my spirit comes from. And that's where I find my power. And that's where I find my connection, my entertainment, my spirituality, everything. And so blood quantum is different than bloodline. But it's really hard to get around the fact that she looks exactly like her mother, exactly like her sister, her brother, her niece. They all look the same. That's how I know that my sister is my sister. My dad has, every now and then I'll get a new brother or sister out of the woodwork. And you look at somebody and you know they're you.
Yeah, I am the spitting image of my father. Yeah. Like it is verified.
Right. And so there were a lot of kids who were stolen from their mothers, but I don't think she's one of them.
You believe it in your heart?
I believe it in my heart because look at her mother. Her mother looks just like her. And it's really hard. How do you get an adoptive family that looks exactly like you?
I am shook to my core as well. And I truly believe she is not Indigenous. I believe that she did good and she has a great soul and intention, but I don't believe she's Indigenous. And I think she carried it too far. And I even experienced a little bit of cognitive disassociation because at first I was like, no, I didn't want to believe it.
I was really worried about you because you loved her.
I almost got her tattooed on my back.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to do that like in the near future. I was going to get her face tattooed on my back of her singing and the line, aim straight, stand tall, of a sobriety statement from my new sobriety life. And I cannot believe I was about to do that. Like maybe the next year or so. I was going to do it on her 80th birthday, really.
Now, oh my
she's
gosh.
82. Could you imagine if I had done that, Suta? If I had a buff
of
St.
Marie?
I'm so sorry, Melissa. It feels like she's dead. It feels like she's dead.
Yeah.
And I was
well,
in
the
shock.
Person you knew is dead. The person she was pretending to be is not even a real person. She
now
was pretending to be it.
Beverly is now Buffy St. Marie, who is someone who just loves Indigenous culture now, I see it as. Who loves it.
Loves it to the... I find it creepy. I don't like it when people take a love that far. I find it really creepy to say that you're something you're not and firmly believe it, even when they're like, everybody can see it, everybody knows it, and then they're like, no, I am native, I'm indigenous. You're indigenous to Italy.
Yikes. I'm just thinking of all the people that I know. Like, she, to this day, she is still the biggest interview I ever did. Right. You know, she took people that I know on tour with her and changed their lives. People are doctors because of her.
Well, I saw a list of, I screenshotted it. And this is where we get into the impacts of cultural identity theft.
Right, right.
Because she's got, well, this is just part of the list of what she has. She has an Academy Award for Best Original Song, Up Where We Belong. That was the year I was born in 83. She's an officer of the Order of Canada. She's not a Canadian citizen. She's got an honorary doctorate of letters from the Emily Carr Institute of Art and Design, an honorary doctor of law from Carleton University, an honorary doctor of fine arts from Ontario College of Art and Design, a Governor's General Performing Arts Award, a Juno Award for Indigenous Music Album of the Year, Indigenous Music Awards for Best Folk Album for Medicine Songs, an honorary doctorate of law from the University of Toronto, a Polaris Heritage Prize, It's My Way, 2020, and a new stamp that honors renowned singer-songwriter. That's a lot. You know, I'm working my butt off out here, and I don't have time to go back to school, and I can't afford it. And I'm like, maybe someday somebody will see and recognize me with like an honorary doctorate, because I didn't have the time to go back to school, but I'm working my butt off out in the field. I hope for that, right?
So many musicians have lost awards to her.
Those Juno Awards and Kelly Frazier, you know, we have a special place in our heart here at Indigenous Vision for young women and girls, the women we are, or the girls we are before we're women, you know, and then the mentoring aspect of it.
Right.
And is that her second award that night? No matter what it was, I was thinking, you know, it takes leadership, and if she's 80 years into her career and Kelly is starting hers, and we all knew of the bullying that Kelly was facing, cyberbullying and all of that. She spoke about it a lot, and she posted about it on her Facebook a lot to try to be strong. And I think when you see somebody hurting like that, and then you're put up against an award, it's a good time to practice that culture humility of knowing when to sit down, step back, and push people forward, redress the power. Buffy had a lot of opportunities in her career to say, I am so honored for this award and that you think that of my work, but I would like to put this woman in my place. I think it would have kept her alive.
It's a really tough thing to
awards
grasp.
Change lives. Award change. Those awards.
They do.
That kind of recognition for what musicians and artists are doing, it changes.
I got a radio award, and I feel like I accomplished the radio dream. Like, I actually have two. I don't like to brag too much, but I have two, and it's done wonders. I'm like, yeah, I did that.
Yeah, it's in your portfolio of accomplishments. It adds to your value. It adds to your worth.
Yeah.
That you can use in negotiating your terms for giving voiceovers or adding a clip to somebody's work. Say somebody wanted to make a music video with you and they needed you to say a clip. You could charge with all of that in your back pocket.
And there's so many great musicians and artists out there who don't have awards.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we started Ivy Music for, is to, because we're major fangirls and we are a fan of the mixtape, and I wanted something along the lines of mixtape, but I wanted all of my musician friends to experience what it would like to have your name and your band and your song introduced on the radio, because it's, for me, it's magical. I love it. And it's a different way to have your work presented, because all of the musicians and artists are out there trying to be their own promo man, trying to be their own, you know, hype man. and they need help. It's a hard, like people don't, people get mad at you for paying $10 to go see a ticket at the dive bar show, you know, and you're trying to make it, you're using that money for your rent.
It's crazy. I could, we could do a whole episode on just paying artists and how people are so reluctant to do so these days. But we're paying
Yeah.
top dollar to see Buffy St. Marie. People are paying top dollar to have them at their events, their festivals, interviews, even.
Yeah.
And she's a millionaire who lives in Hawaii.
Right. And she said that she went home to her community every year and taught the Cree language. Is she fluent in Cree?
I don't think so.
You know, all of her work is good work.
It
It is
is.
good work.
She is a legit songwriter. Like, let's be
Yeah.
real on that. She can write a freaking real song.
Yeah. But the one comment is, did she have to do it in red face? And that's so valid.
Oh
It's
my gosh, it's
she's
so
so
valid.
talented and she didn't have to do it in red face. And so it's the lies for me. It's the lies. And it's so, and that makes me scared because I have trauma responses, you know. If you lie to me, it takes a lot of work and a lot of counseling for me to regain my trust again.
I don't trust
And
anybody anymore now.
yeah.
I have a hard time. Like, I see a lot of indigenous people being lifted up, and I'm like, oh, I just rub my head. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll celebrate this person. But who knows what they've done in the past or if they're really indigenous now because everybody's being exposed and the truth always comes out. The truth
Yeah.
always comes out. And just for the record, we are really indigenous. You can
Black feet
try,
and
you
blood,
can
yes.
try to expose us. But we really are.
Yeah.
We are our granddaughter. We are the granddaughters of Indigenous people.
Yes. And my dad went to residential school. My grandparents on both sides. My grandpa was a chief. My gra other grandpa was the last Indian outlaw. I have a book coming out. And you know, what I have been is I have been an inspiration for people trying to find their cultural roots. People come to me for resources. How do I? My grandma told me I'm Cherokee, and I really feel it deep inside. And I first thing I always tell them is like, okay, well, before you go and tell that to anybody, you need to find something more to hold on to than just that. There's a family name, there's a story there. And what I'm finding is that a lot of people from the t Trail of Tears, there seem to be a lot of natives who claimed white to stay back from the Trail of Tears, to stay in their mountains and their land. And that makes perfect sense. I think if I was passing enough, I would say that too, to stay in my mountains. I would definitely lie to stay in my mountains.
Yeah, a lot of the Métis people did that so that their kids would not be taken away.
Yeah,
I
and so
have
there's.
friends who have stories of people trying to lighten their skin as children so they wouldn't be taken away.
Right. And so there was a really fearful time, but to exploit that when you've grown up happy and you've had all of your needs met and you've never had to worry about so much like your meals or your clothing
Boarding school trauma.
or your care, yeah. Like if people were going to hurt you. And that's a big thing is a lot of Native kids and a lot of our elders right now had to worry about things that children shouldn't worry about. If they'll be fed and who was going to hurt them. Those are not child worries. So I don't think she went through that. And that's what makes people successful. That's what keeps us down when we're about to get successful. Think of all those pro Native ballers who like almost made it, and then our traumas, and then the way we cope with them, whether it's drugs or alcohol or sex or whatever it is, you're coping and it's a negative way to cope, and your career fails.
It's a
It's because
lot.
we have trauma, and we literally ruin our success for ourselves because we're trying to deal with this mental trauma and emotional trauma that whether we want to deep dive into it or not, and really explore where it originally starts and what's causing it, and then how it manifests, and then what activates it, and then how to navigate around it. That's a lot of work to do.
And
It's
the
a
tools were
lot.
not. There was no tools for that for my parents' generation. They
No.
just carried on with life with all their trauma bleeding everywhere. Then I
Yeah.
come along, and it took me till my 30s to figure it out and start to clean it up. Buffy St. Marie, born in the 1940s, was just able to become an adult, put on the red face, and be a winner.
Well, she was hanging out in Greenwich Village already
And I'm
before
sure she
she.
did receive like actual racism, like because people really believe she was an Indian. Like I'm sure she had the brunt of her own racial experience, right? Like some racialized outcomes for herself. But she was already a developed person. There's so much I'm thinking about. There's so much.
There's a lot,
I was
because we
like
think about
yelling.
when when we do our classes, one of the first activities is something along the lines of think of a time, and we give these categories, which are like social indicators and categories that people have put on us that are typical in the DEI work. And think of a time where you've experienced an assumption about you, or think of a time when you've had a bias from your culture that impacted the way you interact with people. And I don't know, I'm truly disgusted and flabbergasted. I don't know if there's a word that is big enough to say, like, how did she handle method acting her whole life?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think she just started to believe it. Like, really started to believe it after. Can you imagine 60 years of holding up that story? 60. We're like barely 40 here.
No, she had trouble holding it up. That's why she had to resort to such horrible threats to her family. And that's also what almost makes it unforgivable for me, is because you can't. I have a problem with women weaponizing our, we're powerful and we get hit on and we get abused and we get hurt and we get cherished. But our weapons, it could be a weapon once we say, this person has done this to me or was sexually deviant to me. It's a weapon. And men are scared. Like you look at what the Me Too movement did. And not all women out there are healthy. And their mental health could be caused by trauma, sexual trauma, or it could be caused by major abuse at some point in their childhood or their youth. But how do we protect each other from like false people and false accusations and just the falseness, lies? Why, like, I don't know. I couldn't say. I would have to do some, I don't know if anyone can say like what happened between her and her brother, because he's not here anymore, but his daughter is. And it matters how safe you feel as a daughter, right? I mean, daughters have some cognitive dissonance around not wanting to see the true parts of their parents as well. But maybe she, I have no idea. I just know that she knew she had a birth certificate. You can't get IDs, you can't get passports, you can't get marriage licenses without one. And she was saying that she didn't have one, right? And she was saying she was Canadian. And that's a great way to really mess everybody up, is like just claim a whole different country that you're not even part of, and like good luck finding those records, really.
Yeah. It's really spun out of control, it sounded like, especially the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, but it's just,
Like,
you don't.
and I get that the Cree people have claimed her. That's fine. You know what? They do it all the time. That's fine. But we're talking about her story and how it's not lining up and all of the, just all of the accolades. I can't believe. Like, what's going to happen now? I know a lot of people are crying for a DNA test just to shut it down for good. DNA test, shut it down. Will she do it? Probably not. I would be shocked if she did, and
Well,
we
her
could actually
sister's
see.
DNA test should pull up that. I mean, I don't know. I believe that they're family because they all look like each other.
She was
I
like a
don't.
blonde version of her, right? Like it kind of looked like a
No,
blonde.
Buffy is blonde as well. I mean, a lot of brunette women turn blonde in their 30s and 40s for some reason, I've noticed. But she's going gray now. She's probably completely gray.
I can't even rewatch her statement. Because I watched it before the Fifth Estate, right? And
Me
I made
too.
this big emotional post about don't trust the CBC, which by the way, I'll probably never trust, just for the record. But I'm not going to take it down because I just want it to be there to show how you can change the way you think.
Right. Yeah.
I
I
can
mean, that's
evolve. Like,
we well, and then
I
that
can't
goes
even
the other way
breathe.
too,
Oh my
right? If
God.
we, I'm also getting really upset talking about this too, but if there's new evidence that comes out that says she's native, we still have a lot of work to do, because if she has the Mi'kmaq part on her mom's side,
Right.
that she wasn't adopted. What's her whole story about then, anyway? How come she didn't dive into the Mi'kmaq part? I think that would have made that nation very proud.
I want to know why she chose Cree. What was it about the Crees that like
Well,
drew her
she,
in?
what I got from the documentary, and I can only fill in, is she visited at some point. After her time in Greenwich Village, she was already popular. She was already famous. And then she met a couple who said, "We lost a daughter about your age." I thought the documentary said they lost two daughters that were right around her age. And then for me, I don't know if that, this is where we have to be careful of narrative, who's telling the narrative, what they're framing, and what they're trying to get us to think. Because stories don't explicitly tell you the climax and the conclusion. That's the adventure is in leading you on and to think something. And so it led me on to think that this Cree family lost two daughters to the residential school system that they have never found to this day, that are about the same age as Buffy. And
Wow.
to me, for her to be like, "Well, I'm your daughter." And that's cool. That's beautiful. And that they would accept each other. You'll be my daughter. We'll be your daughter. That's an old tribal practice of when we lose people in battle, we go get more people, and sometimes we steal them from them.
Or like finding a baby in the bushes, right? You find a baby in the bushes, you take it in as your own.
Yeah. The way the story has come up today is that it's severe manipulation and exploitation of their loss. And she played into it saying that my mother is that woman. My mother is your daughter who was lost. Or that's where it goes again. That's where it gets another little hairy, because she said her birth mother is from the Paiapoc Reserve.
That doesn't make any sense.
And the Cree family who adopted her lost two daughters to residential school. And so they would have been children when they were lost.
Could
So
it
again,
be that she
there.
was born and then somehow snuck to Massachusetts? Like, what? I don't.
To people who look exactly like
Right.
people.
So much. It's so much, Suta. It's
I'm
been
sorry, Melissa. I'm so
day
sorry.
five of like day five of. Still on my mind.
Yeah, I think it's horrible. I am not surprised. I'm not stunned, because I had those reservations in the beginning when I first came around to seeing her when I was 16 and 17. But then, because she was so badass and she was sitting on stages with Bob Dylan, I was like, wow,
Johnny Cash,
a native lady can do it.
right?
And she gave me inspiration and she gave me hope. And that's good. But that's I she there was supposed to be a real native woman sitting there. There
That's.
every everybody got fooled.
I feel so cheated.
Now I feel like it was like a nice church lady saying, "You little Indian girl, you can make it. You can stand up here. I'll dress up like you and I'll show you that you can make it. I'll talk about the trials and tribulations of your people. I'll dress like you. I'll wear some feathers. I'll dye my hair black and wear some tanner. You can get little Indian girl." Is that the truth? Because she didn't have any of the trauma of residential school or adoption or loss of cultural identity or loss of self. She firmly knew who she was, and she this aim. What's that saying she has? That's also
aim
goes for
straight, stand tall.
Like, lying is not aiming straight at all.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Like, I don't know if I can even listen to the music right now. I can't. I thought about rewatching her statement, and I just can't. And we've done episodes like, well, there's been so much work done on her.
Mm-hmm.
So much work.
And we try to play only Native artists here. And it gets really hard, you know, when you get out, because we can't judge people by, you know, oh, they're blonde and blue eyed. Well, there are a lot of people.
Like, right.
I'm telling you, I went to school with gingered haired, freckled, enrolled black feet. I got a good experience in like not all Native people. And then I also have had a white, and my sister is like the whitest one of us all, right? And she hates it. She feels the discrimination from the tribal side of like not being Indian enough. But
Right.
then I think she picked up on like the slang and the lingo. And then so when she goes out into the white world, she's definitely not a white girl. And I think that she gets treated like that.
Right. But she's not out there putting tanner on it.
No.
Making herself darker and doing red face to blend in more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't
And
believe
she came
it.
over. She must be a descendant of the Santa Maria, because they're right on the East Coast. And my white family has a descendant of a boat. But they came over and settled in Sappington, Montana. The name of the town is named after us, or my grandpa's mom.
When did you first hear the rumblings of this? Because I remember you telling me, and I was like, no. It was like a few months ago you told me, and I was like, no. That person's crazy.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I feel really bad for you, because you were genuinely in love with her.
Oh, like, all I could do is laugh. I was like almost despondent on Friday.
I'm so sorry. It's guys, a freaking tattoo on her back.
I was going to get her face tattooed, because I've met her so many times. I've talked with her. I sat in this beautiful restaurant. It was like the pinnacle of my career. You know, like, I would never be in that restaurant because I couldn't afford to eat at that restaurant. But they had it shut down so that we could do an interview in there. And it was like one of the highlights of my career as a radio DJ working in Winnipeg. And it was just before she took the stage for this big festival that I emceed in between as well. And when she's coming off the stage, she like grasped my face and was like, you did such a great job, like lifting me up in person. Like, I can't believe it. I feel so cheated.
Who's another great white female folk artist from that?
Joni Mitchell is like her pal or
Joni
whatever.
Mitchell, yeah.
Right. Actually Canadian. Just...
And we would, and if Joni Mitchell did Native songs, we would all be badass fans, and we would be there for her too. I think if Joni Mitchell didn't have to claim
anything. She was just herself.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of female artists that we love, and we like, they're in all of our CD players, and they're in all of our, you know, core memories as women growing up in this era. They didn't have to lie.
No, you can inspire people. I get inspired all the time by artists, and they don't have to be Native, like, but it meant something more special, because I thought she was, like, to all of us, it was,
and they're not
so
white
special.
Lies. Yeah, they're not white lies either. They're,
it's a huge charade.
They're threaten your brother with what, incest and rape and horrible things. Are we allowed to say those words? Nobody is. We don't have any rule books.
We have no rule books.
But yeah, all of this is like our own thoughts and
that's
feelings.
What really got me too was the threatening of to expose in the 70s when she was at the peak of, like, you know, powwow disco and Redbone's doing their thing. Like, that was an amazing era for her and Redbone to be on a big stage.
And that
like
shows
that.
Us a completely different person. She's not trying to get justice for herself. She's not trying to, well, and first of all, this also shatters her story if she even acknowledged, like, yeah, it's a big, it's the amount of time you tell the lies doesn't make it better. The amount of good you did in the community doesn't make it better, I don't think, because it was under false pretenses. We were all fooled. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing or Indian clothing. You know, and that's so lighten up the mood here, me
I
and my
was even
son.
gonna wear, I could just go on about all the stuff I was gonna do because of her. I was gonna wear this white outfit because of her. Like, there was just all this crazy stuff that I was gonna do to honor her, to honor
Yeah.
her, because I cherished her, I treasured her. Whew, that's tough. That is really tough. I guess I'll just have to turn that all back onto myself because
Yeah.
I am my own hero now because I lost one of my biggest heroes.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we have to be our own hero. And there are other women, like, for me, I have Eloise Cabell. She married into my Cabell family, and she took on the BIA, and she won a she got mismanagement funds reallocated to the tribe to get some of our money, because if you leased your land as a tribal member, you were getting like a 3 cent check for like the whole summer,
Wow.
but you weren't like, yeah, we can't, what, I don't know. It's just a real, it's very fraudulent. And so Eloise Cabell went up and exposed it. But then before she passed, she said that they didn't change any of the management policies. So everything is as it was. And I think the money continues to be mismanaged because they didn't change the processes, right?
Right.
So the payout for the mismanagement happened, but what happened in the policies and the processes because of that. I would love to hear more on that if I'm wrong, just like I am about Buffy Saint Marie if I'm wrong.
If we're
But
wrong, we'll come back
I,
and read. We'll do another episode.
yeah. And the end, even if she does like a DNA test and is still, there's still absolutely no reason to lie. If her mom said we're part Mi'kmaq, then explore that. The heck are you doing?
Right.
Mi'kmaq is almost extinct. How many tribal members do they have enrolled?
It's so
And if her mom
crazy.
is half, that's more than enough to get enrolled. And you enhance and empower a whole nation of people by adding your body and your name to that tribal enrollment count, because the federal government, both federal governments, the US and Canada, are obligated to our treaty rights until there are no more tribal enrolled members.
To be continued, I guess. See what happens next. See how I
Yeah.
develop my dramatic journey through this. I almost threw my iPad across the room because that's what I watch my stuff on when I'm.
Yeah.
And I
Oh
thought,
my
this can't be
goodness.
real. This can't be real. But it's real, apparently. And here we are, processing Beverly St. Marie.
Santa Maria.
Santa Maria, Beverly Santa Maria.
Yeah. So she knew her name. She knew her birth certificate. Like I said, you can't. I've been carrying my birth certificate with me since I was 15 or 14 years old because I had to cross the border so much.
Wow, I'm so glad I'm Indigenous. You know what? I really am proud to be a genuinely, and I hate to use this term, full-blooded Indigenous woman. I'm actually going to make a t-shirt that just says full-blooded. I'm just going to troll the world now. I need to go. I need to calm down. I need to go.
Well, this is
I'm
why
all
we
riled
didn't
up again.
record. This is why we didn't record on Friday,
If
because
we recorded
we need
Friday,
time.
I probably would have cried.
I was angry. Yeah.
I
I
probably
was
would have
super
really
angry.
shouted. Like, I was
Well,
not well.
Friday is also when I found out about Kelly as well, Kelly Fraser.
Kelly's sister reacted to the news and posted something that was so heart-wrenching.
And people, yeah. So, and that's not okay. That's not
No.
okay when that's like a direct impact. That's not
So
a
many people are hurting right now.
distant butterfly effect. That was a she was up for something amazing. She was about to tell all those haters and bullies that they could just put it where the sun doesn't shine and just go on with her beautiful self. And she was so positive. She was more positive than I am.
I never got to meet her, unfortunately.
I just listened to her stuff and what she played and like searched her on Google and then was friends with her on social media.
But I felt the impact when she left, and it was heart-wrenching. It was heartbreaking to hear of that. And it still is to think of. And the fact that that's as far as she got was being nominated with Buffy and then losing to Buffy. When Buffy wasn't a... I can't even say it.
A real native. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not even a real Indigenous person, and she's not even Canadian. All those... Yeah, it's just crazy. And I also felt like, how could this be? Because I'm so scrutinized. I'm just one little tiny Indian girl. I'm not famous. I don't have all these accolades or orders of Canada or doctors of law from University of Toronto. And they make sure that I need to claim a country. They hold me for hours telling me that I need to claim a country. My border problems that I've had, how did she get around them? It's because she had a birth certificate, IDs, and a passport.
Everybody just played along, just like, yep, we know, Buffy, we're not going to say anything. We know.
That's the PBS guy, right? The guy who found out in the 70s, and that's when she found out that the pilot was her brother, and then he went back to her, and that's when her lawyers sent a threatening letter to him.
It could have all ended in the 70s.
Yeah.
And then where would we be?
We would be playing, you know, the thing about being a speaker and being the person behind the mic is there's so many people there to take your place. If I can't show up to a panel, I know 10 other Indian girls who can. And they can speak just as well as I can. We're begging to speak. We're begging for a place at the table. We're begging for somebody to hear us. And it's really important that that narrative is a true lived experience that they're hearing.
Thanks for listening to the Ivy Podcast. We are Indigenous Vision, an educational nonprofit based in Montana and Arizona. You can follow us on Facebook at Indigenous Vision and on Instagram, Indigenous Vision Media. If you happen to miss our cultural humility training for October 2023, don't worry, we've got another one coming up this January 2024. I have shared the details and the link for you to sign up and learn more in the show notes for this episode. Take care, enjoy your day, and thank you so much for listening to the Indigenous Vision Podcast.